will in our life as it ended that 13th chapter of Hebrews. But it's good for us to remember from time to time what's happened when we got saved. So let's be praying, please. Heavenly Father, help us tonight as we get in the Word and look at some of those things that happened the day that we got saved. We pray that we would be encouraged and reminded. Lord, be with the service tonight, that our minds would be free from distraction and fully engaged with you. Help me, Lord, tonight, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Ephesians chapter 2, please. Find the first thing that I have on my list tonight, verse 18. And through him, we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. You know, verse 18 is sort of an interesting verse because you find the Trinity working. Through Jesus, we have access by the Spirit unto the Father. All that's happening, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, is working at the day of salvation. But it starts through the Holy Spirit convicting my heart. But what's happened? Number one, we have a new relationship to God's grace. We have a new relationship to God's grace. What relationship? Number one, we're saved by grace. The grace of God now moves in and saves my dirty, rotten, sinful soul. And I'm saved by grace. I don't have to preach to this crowd. We know that. We're saved. We don't deserve it. And he rescues me. And now, in relation to my Heavenly Father, I am now restored to him by his grace. But there's a second thing that happens by grace. We now, and we read it today, if you remember in Hebrews chapter 4, the last verse, it says, now we can boldly come to the throne of grace. And there we can find mercy and help in time of need. So we have prayer grace, access grace. I now have access to God himself, salvation, and now he's opened the doors of heaven to me. By grace, I can boldly pray. What an amazing thing that we have access to God, the God of all eternity, that he is ours. Look at Galatians chapter 4, please. Keep your finger wetted because we're going to look at lots of scripture tonight. And these are good ones to write down, mark in your Bible. They're pretty steady Eddie verses. Am I having trouble? Hello? You know what? We might end up giving up on this thing tonight. I hope not. Galatians chapter 4, please. Look at verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The first things we're going to talk about tonight that we receive at salvation have to do with our relationship to the Heavenly Father. We have access to the Heavenly Father. Now we find out we're adopted by the Heavenly Father. Notice that it's what it says there, that we might receive the adoptions of sons, the adoption of sons, to be adopted into the official family of God. And we've sung this song before. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. Just imagine that my name is listed in God's family directory. And we now can be called adopted children. When is that adoption going to be finalized? Well, it isn't finalized yet. So we have the Holy Spirit that lives inside our heart, and it is sealing those adoption papers until the day that we come before God and that final judicial decree where we are finally officially adopted when we stand before God in heaven. Right now, we are sealed unto that adoption, but that adoption is now getting ready to take place into the family of God. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Look, if you will, please, at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Look at verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God,
that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. A lot of things that happen in that verse, but we want to bring out this, that we now have an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Notice the progression. We've been restored to God, so we have access. We are now adopted as a child of God, and now I share as a joint inheritor with God. You know, I've tried to wrap my minds around what that means to have all the inheritance that's in Christ Jesus. I know one thing, it means eternal life. But to mean that I am a joint or co-inheritor with the Lord Jesus Christ is really an amazing, amazing thing. That he was willing, first of all, to share that with me, and second of all, that I am officially in that adoption. Look at John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. I have a new title in relationship to God. John chapter 1. I should have just had you quote this one because you know it. John 1:12, but as many as received him, that's salvation, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. I've got a new title. I am a son of God, and that's not bragging, that's fact. The fact that I could become a son or a daughter of God is a wonderful, wonderful thing, that he loved me enough to now make me one of his children for all eternity. It's a wonderful truth. Look, if you know, one of another interesting thing. Look at Philippians chapter 3. These are all things in relationship to God. Access by grace. Inheritance. Adoption. New title. Philippians chapter 3. I better get over there. I'm busy talking. Look at verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversation, that word conversation could just as easily be translated this. We have a new citizenship. I'm a citizen of glory. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I feel at home in this world anymore. I'm a new citizen. No longer is this what it's all about. My citizenship is in heaven, and I'm looking forward to that day that I get to go to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Funerals are a coming home party. We're going to be with the Lord for all eternity. What a great hope that it paints in our heart. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I become a completely different person. I'm changed not from the outside in. I'm changed from the inside out. And God changes my wanter. And so now I desire, as a new creature, I desire spiritual things. And boy, doesn't the battle start then? Okay? But now there's a brand new Richard Butts. There's a brand new you fill in your name. I'm a citizen of heaven. We were born with this old nature, this old fallen Adam nature. But now something's different. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus. He changed me from inside out. Romans chapter 6, please. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. We want to take the phrase, we are now not only a son of God, a citizen of heaven, but we're his servants. I no longer serve my old master. I like to call him Smutty Face. I have a brand new Savior, and I have a brand new Father, and I voluntarily lay down my life to serve him. I haven't brought this out for a while, but in the original Greek language, the word for servant and slave is exactly the same word. It's the word doulos. The only difference is the attitude of the context of the passage. When you're in shackles and bound, you're a slave. But when you give yourself to serve voluntarily, then you're a servant. We aren't bound to serve the Lord. He calls us to serve. What a privilege to be serving in the house of the Lord. Do you remember King David? If I could just be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Hey, Fred, that's you. Way back there. If I could just be an usher, letting people in and out of the temple or something in heaven, David would say, hallelujah, what a wonderful thing to serve God. Do we have to wait to get to heaven to serve God? It should start right here. We're servants of the Lord. When our church was first getting started all those years ago, it was the first week that I was going out inviting people. My name is Richard Butts, and we're starting a church down here, a Westside Baptist Church down here on Blaylock, 3106 Blaylock here in Spring Branch. They said, really? They said, don't we have enough churches? I said, well, we're a Bible preaching church, and told them all about it. And I remember this lady, she said, who told you to do this? And I said, God did. She said, are you hearing voices? And I tried, you know, I'm only like 20, early 20s. I tried to be as humble as I could. I said, I'm just a humble servant of the Lord, doing what he wants me to do here in Houston. You know, Christians, that's all we are. We're just doing what the Lord tells us to do. And he moves us from this to this to this to this. And if it's as grandiose as starting a church or being a missionary, those are pretty high callings. Or if it's as lowly as we said the other day, giving a cup of water in Jesus' name, we are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a volunteer servant of the Lord? Are you willing to serve him with all your... Well, when I got saved, I signed up to be a servant of my Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 11. And such were some of you, but now are ye washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Notice, we've been washed and sanctified and justified. We've been cleaned up. We aren't the same old dirty person we used to be. God took us off of spiritual skid row and set us on the golden streets on the way to heaven. Amen? I've been sanctified. I've been washed. I've been justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for his salvation. Now I'm part of God's family, and he's changed me. He's cleaned me up. We could stop and easily have testimonies this morning of how God has taken things out of our lives, amen, that were in there. And God took away the smoking. He took away the swearing. He took away the cussing. He took away the liquor. He took away all these kinds of things out of our life. And he's cleansed, and he's washed, and he's sanctified us, and he's bringing us unto himself. We have received a dose of sanctification in our Lord Jesus Christ. All these relate to the Heavenly Father. We're his child. We're his servant. We're sanctified unto his use. We're being made a new creation. We're a citizen of heaven. We have access to salvation grace and praying grace. And we're now his children and adopted. All these wonderful things. The moment we got saved, those things came into my life. Let's think of relationship to Jesus himself, how our relationship changed. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 6. to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You know what the first thing we could see that happened to the Lord Jesus? He accepted me. Lord, would you save me? Nope, you're a reject. He will in no way cast them out that come unto him. When he said, for whosoever, that included me. He accepted us. Well, I look at kids sometimes going to college, trying to get accepted at different places, and they worry about it, and waiting for the acceptance letter and all these kind of stuff. We apply to different loans. Will they accept our loan? Will they allow me in this program? Jesus says, accepted. You've been allowed in. I will not turn you away. Notice another thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So the day I got saved, I got accepted. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, another thing happened in relationship to Jesus, verse 13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. And what happens there? When I got saved, I was baptized into Jesus. I was baptized into the body of Christ. That's a spiritual way of saying I was spiritually placed into him. I was baptized into him. I became part of Christ's body. I became one with Christ. Now when God the Father looks at me, he sees me, as we already know, as a son, as a co-inheritor, with all the rights and everything that goes along with it. I was placed into Jesus by baptism. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? Now, we're so used to using that word saved. Let's just stop and think what saved means. Rescued. Plucked out. Blah, 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 I'm drowning. My sins had a hold of me. I had no hope. Hopeless, I have hope. Jesus saved me. We ask people that don't know much about the Lord, are you saved? They say, what? But aren't you glad you're saved? When I became a Christian, I was rescued. I had a one-way ticket to hell. John 3 says, I was already condemned. But if it hadn't been for Jesus, I would never have been plucked out. I would have never been saved. I would have had no hope in my heart at all. But he saved me. Look at John chapter 10. Look at John chapter 10. Look at verse 28. These are the eternal security verses that we like to read. If you are marking your Bible tonight, wake up, please, so you can write these down. Mark John chapter 10, verse 27, 28, 29, and 30. Write that in the fly leaf of your Bible. So somebody says you can lose your salvation. Let's see what happens when I got saved in these verses. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them, what's the first thing? Eternal life. What's the second thing? They shall never perish. Number three, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. All three of those things happen. I got eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I got a promise that it would never go away and never perish. And then third of all, I was placed into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, nobody can take you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 29, my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. There's a fourth thing that happened to me. I was not only placed in Jesus' hand, I was placed in the Father's hand. I, verse 30, I and my Father are one. These all happened the moment I got saved. And I got a salvation in Jesus Christ that cannot be taken away. You know, one of the big things the Catholic Church and others do is they try to threaten people with something called excommunication. What is excommunication? Why is that so deadly? Okay, we don't like Miguel over here. We kick him out of the church. He says, I don't care. I'm still going to heaven, right? I'm like, that's not a good thing that we're kicking you out or all the rest, but I can't monkey with his soul. I can't hang it over his head. We're going to put you out, and you're on your way to hell again, brother. You see, excommunication, a church is saying, you're going to not only lose your fellowship with us, you're going to lose your way to heaven. Because we hold, and they take a false doctrine, the keys of Peter. But you know, the keys of Peter are nothing more than the gospel. It's a misinterpretation of that passage of Scripture. We can't excommunicate somebody from going to heaven. Because God gave to them eternal life. He gave unto them, what was the second thing? Never perish. What was the third thing? Also in the Father's hand, nobody can take that away from you. When you got saved, you got eternal security in Jesus. Does that mean I have a license to live like a pig? No, we already talked about God changed my want to on the inside. And God will convict me and God will deal with his children, but he's promised that I will be his for all eternity. So those are things that change. You know, let's give two more things. I want to make sure we maybe cover these. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. My list is so long, I'm sort of picking some of the things here because I don't want to get too long. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your minds through Christ Jesus. Can you see what the thing, what did we gain in verse 7? You help me. Peace. How much peace? So much peace that people that are unsaved can't even fathom it. We have a peace that passes the understanding of a human being. How can you have peace? The world's falling apart. Don't you see the economy's going down? Don't you see so-and-so disappointed you? Don't you see that you've got cancer? Don't you see? You fill in all the blanks you want with things that would take away your peace. We get a peace that passes understanding in Christ Jesus. A peace the world cannot take away. Because that peace rests in God. It rests in our salvation. It rests in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you tonight, do you have peace? You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, I don't have to know because life is full of a lot of unpeaceful moments. But I do know, I think, your Savior. And tonight we need to learn to rest in the peace that only God can give. Let's go back and examine that. How can we have that peace? So go back, bump it up a verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That's worry, right? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace which passeth understanding. That peace is available to you tonight. And it's found in Christ alone. Do you need peace? Then get a dose from the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Look at verse 16. I remember the first time that I ran across this verse, I was actually traveling in neighborhood Bible time, and it was a memory verse for the in-teens. And I was listening to the verse, and verse 15 is a verse you had to memorize. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his master doeth, and etc. Then verse 16 was a little bonus verse. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever he shall ask of the Father, he may give it you. No, that was good verse. And then he went back to verse 14 for a bonus. ye are my what? Friends. Do you know Jesus calls us a friend? What a wonderful thing to be the friend of Jesus. Praise the Lord for the friendship. I think one of the more well-known hymns that just has been able to have staying power even through all the modern days. What a friend we have in Jesus. Sing it with me. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend who is always there. We have a friend that's there when everybody else has forsaken us. We have that friend. Let me give you a few without looking all the scripture verses up tonight. Philippians 4:13. We have our name recorded in the book of life. Moment I got saved, God said, write Richard Butts in the book of life. You know, I would think that would be one of a kind, wouldn't you, Richard Butts? Richard D. Butts, isn't that sort of that's a little different name. Wasn't it a sort of a shock? One day I got a call from somebody a big hardware store, not Handy Dan, but one of the other ones like that. And they were calling on a delinquent account. And they were wanting to get me to pay something like $300 that I owed. And I said, I don't even shop at that place. And they said, well, is your name Reverend Richard D. Butts? And they gave an address, and I looked it up. Can you believe in Houston there were two Reverend Richard D. Butts's? That just really surprised me, poor guy. There he was. But you know, God knows that there were two separate people. And when he wrote my name in there, he wrote it special. And he wrote, Richard Butts, and I am in the book of life. Because Jesus put my name in the book of life. Another thing, I'm seated with Christ. We've talked about this recently. When Christ finished his work, what did he do? Sat down. Same book of Ephesians tells us that we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. So I'm seated with Christ. Not only did Jesus finish his work, but when I accepted Christ as my Savior, guess what? I can sit down too. What does that mean? I don't have to do anything more to get saved. I'm seated in him. The moment I got saved, it was all done. And so I'm seated with Christ in the eternity. Another thing that I have through Jesus Christ, I have fellowship with the entire Godhead in Christ Jesus. We looked at that verse at the very beginning, that all the Trinity works together, the conviction of the Holy Spirit restoring to God. But we now have fellowship with the full Godhead, the Holy Spirit living in my heart, restored to God, and Jesus advocating for me on the heavenly to the Heavenly Father for my needs. We have fellowship and access to the full Trinity, as it were. We also, the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to go up into heaven, and I'm going to make a special part, an addition to my heavenly mansion, and he's going to make a place for you and me. That's John chapter 14. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come and receive you unto myself. So the Lord Jesus Christ has made a place for me in heaven. He's opened up a spot that says Richard Butts's eternal dwelling. I got that the day I got saved. I got a reservation, and I got a room. Can I tell you about what happened when I turned 50? My wife decided to celebrate. I guess it's because I lived that long. So she wanted to do something real special. The week after I turned 50, she wanted to take me to San Antonio. There's some significant reasons why we were going to go to San Antonio. And but we decided to spend a night or two there. And so now this was back, you know, a good number of years. I wish I was just 50 yesterday, but it was a good number of years back. And so Debbie wasn't used to making online reservations yet. So, but she got online and she made a computer reservation on the other side of San Antonio on whatever their loop is called. And she had it all nice surprise and all the rest. And we drove down there and she said, I've got a reservation here. We're going to eat here and we're going to go up in that tower thing where the dinner goes around. And she had it all, I mean, all laid out. And we got there, we pulled up and she said, I'm going to go in. And she got there and she came out and she had this terrible look on her face. She said, there's no reservations and they're full. I must have forgot to hit the final button and I didn't know you needed to push the button to get the confirm of the reservation. So we had to work and work around and that, you know, something was going on. We finally got a reservation. She said, I've ruined the whole weekend. I said, no, this is what we do. We like to go on these little experiments and have fun. And we had a nice room. But you know what? I don't have to worry about hitting the final button. I get there and they say, they don't have place for you. In Christ, I have a reservation. And I have a room. And my name's on it. And it's guaranteed in Jesus' name. I'm just going to go to something I had never heard of before when I was a young man. Somebody said to me, go downtown to this electrical place and they've got this special part that you need for this thing I was doing. And they put it aside, we paid by credit card, and you go to something that's called the will call window. I've never been to a will call. I said, Will! No, that's not. I don't know what a will. It just means they're going to, you come there and they're going to have the part sitting there ready. You give them the number and they'll bring it out of the warehouse and it's all settled and set aside for you. Hey, when I get to heaven, I'll go to the will call window and I say, in Jesus' name! Whoop, there I am. He's got a place made for me. It's a wonderful thing when I get saved that I have a place in heaven. There's a third area that we have. The Father, I'm his child, I'm an inheritor. In Jesus, I'm his friend, and he's anointed me, and he's sanctified me, and he's done all these things. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit for a moment the day I got saved. He entered me. Now, the Holy Spirit lives with me until the day of my adoption. So the day I got saved, God came into my heart in the person of the Holy Spirit. God lives in you. Well, that's a wonderful thing to know. I was anointed by the Holy Spirit. I was given spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit. I was sealed by the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit has promised to guide me into all truth and to open my eyes and to help me to know the will of God. All those things happened the moment I got saved. The Holy Spirit began to be proactive and he began to change me. And now I am the dwelling place, and you can call my body the temple of God. He lives inside me and he works inside me. And he begins to confirm some things, and he begins to convict other things, and he begins to comfort me. Aren't those wonderful things that we have in the Holy Spirit? A fourth area that happened the day I got saved, my relationship to sin changed. Now I am forgiven. Sin is gone. Thy sins are no longer going to be held against me. Number two, in relationship to sin, I have been justified. Now, that is a term that we use that's a term in accounting. When you justify something, that means on this side of the book there was a debt, but now this has come along and it's been credited against it, and now it's completely wiped off the books. I have been justified. And when you look at that legally, the word justified, we often remember it this way. It's just as if I had never done it. So in relationship to sin, I was justified. I was redeemed. God bought me back. I was sold on the slave market of sin. And the moment I got saved, I was redeemed out of Satan's grip. No longer could he work in my heart. There's another area that we got change. And I will sort of want to end on this tonight. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 10. I'm sorry, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Do you know another thing that happened the moment I got saved? I joined the ambassador corps. And God made me a witness on this earth. God gave me a job to do. Go tell other people. What's the message? Look at it in verse 20. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. How would we put that in maybe English that we would understand? Just simplify it a little bit. I beseech you, or I challenge you, get right with God and be saved just like I was. That's our job. We became representatives of God on this earth to tell other people they need what we have. Let me ask you, are you being a good representative of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Tonight, I just tried to go through the highlights of some of these lists and compiled them together for us tonight. We have had a wonderful upgrade in our relationship to God, access and peace and adoption and inheritance. And in Christ, He's our friend, and we have access and eternal life and eternal security, and we have a peace that passes the understanding of this world. The Holy Spirit lives inside me, and He's the one that birthed me into the family of God, and He indwells me, and He sets me apart, and He teaches me, and all the things that happens, the Holy Spirit that moment changed in relationship to me. Sin was set aside. Satan no longer has a hold on me any longer. Satan no longer has any rights to my life. And now I've been changed to become an ambassador in the name of God. The moment I got saved. So when somebody says to you, are you saved? You say, I sure am. And God has done a great work in my life. Now, the truth be known, these are all technically true. Would you not agree? Just say yes, Pastor. Yes. But God is working the effects of these things into our life. That peace, that access to grace by prayer, the confidence of eternal security, the ability to become a good ambassador. He's working on sanctifying my life and changing me from the inside. These are all things that are judicially settled, but they are working their way out. And so the Lord Jesus, it tells us in the New Testament, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Maybe a better way is let salvation be working its work in your life. Learn to enjoy what you have. I had somebody recently give me a small little computer program that they wanted me to have for the Bible. And they said, Pastor, here, I want you to see this program. When they put it out on my computer and they opened up and they said, see, there's the Bible. I said, that's great, the King James Version. They said, now look at this button. Drop down this whole list of stuff. They said, you're going to spend the next couple of weeks just finding out how powerful this program is. Have you ever had a program like that? That maybe you had it on your computer the whole time, and it all got installed, it was all there, you didn't need any more of it, but you just didn't know all that you had. And then as you got under the need of that word processing program, or that accounting program, or maybe that some sort of art program or engineering program, you say, whoa, it was there the whole time, and I was doing it the hard way. But man, I'm learning now, and I just hit a little button, and off it goes. And those things are neat to know that God has done. This is that working out of your salvation. You already got it. Now let's enjoy it. Let's be confident in it. And the way you do that is by reading the manual. But these promises have been given to us now for us to enjoy as children of God. I hope each day this week that you'll spend a little time reflecting on the Lord Jesus himself as you think of his Passion Week. As we think up to Easter, don't wait till Saturday night and just kind of think of Jesus on the cross and him coming out of the grave on Sunday. Think on Jesus this week. Dwell on him. Study him. Here's just one aspect. This morning, we had a different aspect in the book of Hebrews. There's so much that Christ has done for us. Study it. Mine it. Dwell in it. Be comforted by it. Be empowered by it. Be thankful for it. Tell other people about it. Praise God for what Christ did for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight that we could enjoy rehearsing these wonderful things that you did for us. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed, I would always ask a question at the end of a service.